So today we're going to talk about adding Power BI data experiences to your applications. I'm Josh Kaplan. I'm a senior program manager with Microsoft Power BI.
And I'm Łukasz Pawłowski. I'm also a senior program manager with Power BI.
How many people saw the keynote this morning? All right, good amount. So today we're actually going to talk about data. And data in the context of your application. Your application generates a lot of data. Your application uses a lot of data, and you need to find ways to get that data to surface to your users so they can use it to get through their jobs and get through what they need. About July of last year, we released Power BI, and we allow you to actually surface this data in PowerBI.com itself. We have connectors, content packs that go out, can fetch this data, and allows users to visualize it in reports and dashboards. But what if you want to surface this data within your applications? Have your users stay within your experience, be your users, and see those apps right within your own experiences. So today, during the keynote, we actually announced Microsoft Power BI Embedded, which went to preview literally today. This is an Azure service for Power BI that allows you to do just that. You have the apps, you have the data, and now we let you create content and easily embed that within your application and deploy that out to all your users. So before we actually get into some of the details, I want to go through a couple demos. First of which, once I remember the numbers, got it first try. If you watched the keynote today, we had a video from a company called Milliman. They do actuarial services. And they were one of the first people we talked to about embedding into their Power BI into their application. So this is actually their application. It's called Integrate. Like I said, they do actuarial services, and they use a lot of compute power and a lot of the data services within Azure. And one of the things they do is they have these ETL jobs that can go out, and I'll actually load one of them now. Oops. I'll load the right one. And it'll go out, it'll process the data they need, it'll run it through Blob Store, it'll take it back out through Azure Data Factory, and it'll eventually create and land it in an Azure SQL data warehouse. Now, they can actually take it one step further. Rather than the story just ending at the database, they can actually take it one step further and put visualizations right on top of that. So what they do is they actually go out and they create reports for this data. The data will change, but the schema stays the same, and they have some standard reports that they want to hook up to this data as soon as that ETL job is done. Within their app, they actually let you upload the template report. And as the jobs run, you know, 10 people might run a job themselves, it'll create a new database each time, and they'll hook up the reports to that and let the users visualize them. So let's actually go ahead and look at one of those reports. And one thing to point out here is I'm actually logged in as a user of Milliman's Integrate app. This user is not a Power BI user. They did not sign up for Power BI. They did not go get a Power BI license. They are a user of Milliman. They used this app before Power BI Embedded existed. And now that it has Power BI Embedded, they sign in just like they did before. So I'll click on the reporting tab. I'm going to actually open up their report gallery. Now, it's Milliman's app that decides what me or this user is allowed to see. And they picked these three reports that I am actually authenticated to see. And I can click on one. And they like to open up different tabs up here. And I'll actually go ahead and render the report right here live within their app. So it's now natively running within their application. It's still fully interactive. Has all the Power BI features. I have a drill down of deeper analysis, and I can flip between pages just like I would as if it was running in PowerBI.com. Key difference here, never had to leave the app, never had to sign up for anything else, and I never really had to know as a user that Power BI itself existed. Let me show you one more example. And this is one we built in-house. It's somebody's birthday. This is one we built in-house. And it's just a sample app, but it just shows a retail example of Power BI report running inside a dashboard. You know, fine, nothing amazing there, but it gets a little bit more deeper as you integrate this with other experiences. So I'll click on here, and this is actually the Bing API. And on the map here, we're looking at routes of different trucks, where they are right now, what their current status is, are they on time, are they late, are they approaching being late? And if I see one that's becoming late, I can actually click on it and drill in to get more information. So flyout happens here, a report comes up, and that report can be filtered for that one truck. As you bring up a report, we actually allow you to pass in additional filters, or one additional filter right now, and you can filter down that report contextually for whatever was clicked on in the app. Again, this is still fully interactive. Now they took this demo one step further. And also created a mobile app. This is running on an iPhone. And in here I can click on the ramp shipment and delivery analytics. And it'll load the same map that you saw before. I can zoom, move out, and I can click on a truck. Now I can have the same flyout and the same report render in a mobile app. Should have checked my Wi-Fi connection before I started. Same report render in a mobile app, fully interactive, just like it was in the web. And I can do this using the same technology, same SDK, even same report in this case, but have the same experience for my users. Key point is my users on the desktop, on the phone, and on the tablet. And this is what we're going after with Power BI Embedded. So what is Power BI Embedded? We mentioned before that Power BI Embedded is an Azure service. So you as a developer, you have one-to-many Azure subscriptions. Now, within your Azure subscriptions, you can now provision what's called a Power BI Workspace Collection. And this is our top-level Azure resource. And it contains your API keys that we'll use to generate app tokens, which I'll refer to in a little bit. It has your gateway connectors to data sources like SQL Azure. It controls your permissions. And it also has a location. So one of the things we went after with Power BI Embedded is that we wanted it to fit into your applications, rather than having your applications have to redesign to fit into Power BI Embedded. So if you have users in the UK and you have users in the US, you can actually create a workspace collection in the UK and another one in the US to try to co-locate those near your actual end users. Within a workspace collection, there's a collection of, well, workspaces. And a workspace is just a collection of reports and data sets. And basically, you need to fill those empty collections with data sets and reports that you then can go ahead and embed into your app and expose to your users. So how do we create the reports? That's our first step here. We're embedding Power BI, so we want to make sure that you can actually use Power BI to create your content. So to actually build these interactive reports and to build these advanced data sets, you can use the Power BI desktop, which is a free download on powerbi.com. And it allows for advanced data modeling, connectivity to all different sources of data, and very simple drag and drop creation of visualizations and reports. Now, to keep your data fresh and always up to date, we have a feature in the Power BI desktop and in Power BI embedded service that's known as Direct Query. And what this does is you can actually create a data model on top of, let's say, a SQL Azure database, and that can build a report on top of that. But what happens is when someone views and interacts with that report, we're actually translating all their interactions into, in this case, if it's SQL Azure, SQL queries, and passing that directly down to your database, querying the data there, and bringing the results back and displaying it to the user. So your data, in this case, is always up to date, always fresh, and every time they click, they'll see the latest data, so there's nothing to worry about having to keep caches up to date. This will automatically show your users the latest version of the data. And this also allows you to connect to much larger data sets. So let's actually look at a demo of creating a report using the Power BI desktop. And the demo I'm going to show is actually using the, this uses a sample. This uses a sample Azure database. Sample SQL Azure database that if you go into the Azure portal and click on Create New SQL Azure Database, you can say from sample, and it'll actually give you this database schema with the data in it that you can connect to and actually recreate this demo. So here I am in the Power BI desktop, pretty empty, pretty blank. So I need to change that, and I can change that by getting some data into here. So you click on Get Data, and you can see all the different sources that are available. I'm going to take an Azure SQL Azure database and try to remember my server name. My IP just changed again. Let's fix that. There we go. So I connected to my SQL Azure server. I have two databases in here. And it's very typical that you'll develop something on a development database, and when you deploy, you'll go to a production database. And I'll show you a little bit down the line how we've handled those situations. Let me connect to sample one. And you'll see the schema of the database will come up here, and I can select the tables I want to bring in. Select a couple from the start. And I can say load. This is going to give me an option to say, how do I want to connect to this data? One option is import, and what this does is it goes out and extracts the data out of that SQL database and stores it locally within this file and stores it in a really fast, what we call a VertiPack in-memory cache. So you get really fast querying, but your data is cached. The other option is the option I talked about, which is called direct query, and that means we connect directly to the data. That's the one I'll choose. So it'll go in, it'll grab the metadata for those tables, and you'll see a model start to be created as soon as this connects. So I have my tables in here. Automatically, we try to detect relationships and build out the data model for you. Let's fast forward actually a little bit ahead, where I've actually cleaned up my data model and I've started to build a report. So I've started to build this report, but I still have a big open space here and I want to add another visual to it. So let's actually add a map. This is showing sales for a company, broken out by the different salespeople, broken out by the different types of products. Let's actually add a map to see where the sale is happening. So let's actually look at the cities that they're happening in. I'll add the field for city. And automatically it detects it's a location-based field, so it actually will suggest and give me a map to start with. Now I can also add, let's say, the quantity, how many items are being ordered in each city. I'll grab that and I'll drop it into my values. And now I have the quantity of items ordered mapped out by the different cities. And all I did was drag two fields on there. But automatically, this is fully interactive. As I click on one visual, the other visual filters down. And just by doing a quick drag and drop. So I can do a little bit more stuff and, you know, clean this up a little if I want. Just put a border on it, put a title on it, and make it look like the other parts of the other visuals that are on this report. But there I've gone and I've actually made a report. Now, we let you use the Power BI desktop, But we also let you use, well, as part of using the Power BI desktop, you can use our out-of-the-box visualizations, as you saw me use that map. But when the out-of-the-box visualizations aren't enough, we actually let you go ahead and build your own, any type of visualization you want, and bring it into Power BI. I'm going to hand it off to Wukaj to talk about that.
Hey, thanks, Josh. So yeah, so when you're building applications, quite often you have to show the data to your users in a way that's unique, that helps your users make decisions accurately and quickly, and it's customized towards the experiences and workflows that you're building inside your application. And so what Power BI provides is we do provide built-in visualizations out of the box. They work great, as Josh was showing. But when you want to go that extra mile, you can actually use our custom visual capability to build the visualizations. Now, our custom visuals are built on the same code that we've actually open sourced on GitHub. We took the code for every single visual that's inside Power BI, and we put it out on GitHub. We also open source the tests that we use to make sure that they're high quality, and we've provided you a turnkey way to integrate those visuals back into Power BI, and I'll show you all those things. So I'll just switch over to the demo.
Switch over to my demo. Yours.
I'm sorry. One. Number one. Great. But before I show you all the technical details of how to build a custom visual, let me just show you some of the great work that some folks at Microsoft, but also our community, has created. We have out on visuals.powerbi.com a gallery of community-driven visuals. There's about 50 visuals here, and we're adding one a week to here. And what you can do is you can take a look at the wonderful work that a lot of other folks in the community have already done. Now, these visuals are easy to download. I'm probably going to show you one of these a little bit later, so you can just go download a visual. One of the things that's unique about Power BI visuals is that they're portable and reusable. So unlike some platforms, you can actually take that visual, package it as something we'll call a Power BI viz file. Let me just show you that. So when I click download, I get this .pbi viz file. And then I can take that viz file and import it into a report. I'll show you that in a second. Now, to see these things in action, I just wanted to show you a report that we call our testing report. This is how we test all of our custom visuals. And so you can see that, you know, these visuals are fully integrated into Power BI. They support selection. They support formatting. So you can go in and do all of the formatting gestures. We provide APIs for all of these control surfaces. When I bind data from the data model, Josh showed you importing some data from Azure SQL, you can just bind it into your custom visual. But it goes and gets better. You know, you can go have lots of different kinds of visuals, many different kinds of things, to show the data that you have inside your app to your users in a bespoke and custom way. And so, you know, we're just going through some analytic visuals here. I like this one. You can implement things like slicers that help users see the data the way that you need to. Word clouds, various fun things like aquariums. I always like the aquarium. It hits a soft spot in my heart. But I think Josh's report will look a lot better if we use this visual. Now, you can do, these visuals are pretty easy to build, but if you spend a little bit more effort, you can build things like the Sandance visual. So if you've seen this, who's seen the Sandance demo? Okay, if you go down to the garage, you can see a demo of the Sandance, but you can also download it and use it inside Power BI. Just to give you a sense of how customized and bespoke the visualizations that you can build inside, you know, your reports and integrate those deeply into your applications. Now, if you're going to go build one of these, there's a couple of ways that you can get started. So if I click on some of these, you'll notice that some of them have a GitHub link here at the bottom. Right, so you can actually go and grab the code for many of these from the gallery, so you can see how people have already built them and build on them. The gallery visuals are pretty much uniformly MIT licensed, which means they're available to you for both your community, but also for your corporate needs. Now, we've also have out on vision on the on GitHub, we have this project called Microsoft Power BI Visuals. This is all of the source code and all of the tests for our visuals that we ship in the product. So you'll see us developing in this repo. We actually develop here, and then we import that back into our product. Again, MIT licensed, so you can use it as a starting point for your own visualizations. Inside this repo, you will have actually a testing environment. The repo builds on open source platforms. It uses just technologies that you can just go load. So you can use Visual Studio to develop for them, but you can also develop on things like Linux if you wanted to. And of course, you can go test here in the browser. I'll just show you a couple of little, you know, visuals if I click around. We also try to make it really easy for you to build for all of our platforms. So we have, you know, the ability to build visuals for apps. We also have the ability to build visuals for mobile. So you can go ahead and test those out here. So the last thing is, to get started, you can get started just by syncing the repo and developing in Visual Studio or on your desktop. We also have a web-based development tool. You'll find it when you log into your Power BI account under DevTools. And what it gives you is it gives you a full web-based editing tool for your code. The code itself is TypeScript. So if you're familiar with JavaScript, TypeScript is simply typed JavaScript. The reason we use that is that we can have unit tests, so we can have very fast and reliable builds version to version. So when I go to build one of these visuals, I just press compile and run here. And you can see that the visual loads over on the right-hand side. I can go resize it. I can go test it using the browser's debugger. And of course, I can go make changes. So, you know, if I don't like red, maybe I like build blue. And we'll go do that. Now, the visuals themselves implement a very basic API. It's very simple to use. It involves three major methods. There's an init method. Let me just show you that real quick, which gets called the very first time the visual is placed, is bound to data. So the init receives a number of properties. So I don't know if you can see this, but there's a color palette. So we actually hand you all of the information that you need so that your visuals can integrate deeply with all of the user's Power BI selections, right? So colors, number formats, and things, you can go respect all of those. Okay, we also bind into you an element. That's where you'll be placed. It's all of our apps, all of the things that you're seeing in Power BI, these are all modern applications. They work on all the modern browsers. There's actually an Angular app. So you're going to be writing here and being inside the DOM. And of course, you're just going to place your element here. Now, you can use D3. Our visuals, most of them are implemented with D3. But you can also use Canvas. You can use WebGL. The globe map that I was showing you actually uses WebGL. And so that's the init method. Then we have the update method. The update method is the one that gets called in a loop. Every time new data is bound to you, every time the user interacts with the visual, this method is going to be called. So when you're building these visuals, make sure you optimize this method for performance and memory usage. Reuse DOM elements. Don't create them and leave them around. Okay? One of the other things that makes Power BI really powerful is this thing called a data view. When you build a custom visual, you don't actually have to worry about the format of the data. What you do is you say, declaratively, I would like a category and I'd like a measure that's summarized. I'll show you where that is. And then what we do is we give you a data source and data set agnostic format called a data view that you can use. So that what that means is that you can build a visual once and allow your users and your developers to reuse that same visual across many different applications, many different projects. Okay? So now to actually declare that what you're going to receive there, we have something called capabilities. Capabilities is a declarative syntax where you define what the data inputs are and what the object properties for formatting that will be integrated into Power BI's UI. What that means for you is that here, this particular visual is declaring that it wants a category and it wants a measure. And then those are the two fields that will show up and you can bind data to it from the fields list. One thing I would mention is that we also try to make this really easy so you have, you know, full syntax highlighting in here if you wish. And then the last thing that you have is you have the opportunity to set objects. Objects are properties that you either show in the fields list or can store state between instantiations of your visual on the page. So you can make sure that, you know, if you have custom configuration controls, you can persist them in an object and then Power BI will hand that back to you at the appropriate time. When you're all done building your visual, you'll press this export button. And that export button will take you to this dialog. After you fill out a bunch of things, provide some icons. If you're going to publish to the gallery, you'd provide a bunch of license terms and support things, and then you just press export. And so here you'll see that I just exported a PBI viz file, and that's the same file that I downloaded from the gallery, right? So you can very easily create a visual, export it, and then import it later. So let's go take a look at that. So I'm going to switch over to the other machine, number 8, please. So now, if I wanted to import a visual, I don't know if you can see this, there's a little dot, dot, dot right here. So if I have one of those PBI Vis files, I just press that button, I go through the import dialog, and then I can select a file from the disk. I've already done that here, so I'm not going to again. And then what'll happen is, I don't know if you can see this little globe map here. We have a globe map, it's been already imported. So it shows up just like any other visual. So let's go make Josh's report a little bit more flashy. And we'll just convert it to a globe map. You can see here it's loading in, we have a 3D map. The 3D map is fully interactive, right? Spins around, right? And so now, whoops. No, let's not do that. And so it spins around, and you have a fully integrated interactive map directly that's custom that makes your report pop for your users.
Thank you. Although I like my map. So we have a report. Now we just need some place to put it. So let me cut back to our deck for a moment. Have the report, you want to get it into your application. So we put together a series of APIs, REST APIs, and we've backed those up with a couple SDKs right now to help you get started with this. One of the things that was very important to us when we set out designing this service was that, I mentioned this once before, that we make sure that Power BI Embedded fits into your application, which means your users, the way your app is structured, all that stuff can stay the same, and you can just add Power BI data experiences right into that app. And I'll show you some of the ways we made sure that that happened. So Power BI is another Azure service, just like the Azure Data Services, just like Azure Websites, anything else in Azure. And on top of that are APIs. The Azure ARM APIs, used for provisioning the service, creating your workspace collections, getting your access keys, and then the Power BI APIs used for uploading reports, embedding those reports. All those things are available so that every step of the process can be automated by you. So you can build out your app, and you can automate your deployments, automate your provisioning, automate your updates. All that stuff is done through these APIs. So let's actually walk through the Power BI APIs real quick. And I'm going to show these to you in the REST APIs. And then later I'm going to show you a demo that uses our SDK and show you where to get that demo. So to address any of our APIs, it's always going to be api.powerbi.com, and it's going to be /the version. While we're in preview, we have the beta version, and we plan to continue to keep the beta version as we move forward, and what we'll do is we'll actually roll out new APIs there, let you try them out, give us feedback, we'll iterate on them a few times, and once we're sure those API signatures are locked, we'll move them into one of the named version space or the numbered versions. And then they'll have a tight contract where we won't break any kind of backwards compatibility. After the version comes your workspace collection. So it'll be collections /the name of the workspace collection you created. And that's how you get pretty much the root level of any resource in Power BI Embedded. So let's look at some of those resources. First one is the workspaces. Anything with an S on it is generally a collection. If I do a get on a collection, it's going to return you all the items that are in that collection. So I do a get on workspace, I see all the workspaces that are in that particular workspace collection. If I do a post to a collection, we add a new item to it. So if I do a post to workspaces, it adds a new workspace. So to create a new workspace, just do a post. There's no body needed for this one. It'll create the workspace, and it'll give you back a workspace ID as part of the response. Now you have this empty container, and you need to put some stuff into it. So to put some stuff into it, we have the import API. When we created that report, and I actually go in and I hit File Save, the output of that is what's called a Power BI Desktop file or a PBIX file. You can use the Import API to take that file from your local disk or from wherever you're storing it and move it into your Power BI Embedded workspace. So you go to Imports. If I do a Get on Imports, it's another collection. It gives me a list of all the files I had previously imported. If I do a post to import and I give it the bytes for that PBIX file, it'll actually initiate a new import and load that file to my workspace. This is an asynchronous call. Sometimes files can be big, they can take a long time. So once you do a post, you'll pretty quickly get back a response with an import ID. You can take that import ID and do a get on import, and it will tell you the current status of the file as it's publishing, 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 or succeeded. Once it succeeded, you're left with two objects, reports and data sets. Those were the two things we authored in the PBI, in the Power BI desktop. So the reports is what you're going to embed. That is your visualizations. And essentially, when the import is done, you'll get your embed URL back as part of the response of calling get import. Also, you can call get reports, which will list out all the reports that you've imported and their embed URLs, so you can use them to actually embed. The other piece of this is the data set. This contains your model, your tables, your relationships, any calculations you've added into there. And it also contains the definition of how you connect to your data. So in our example, we used a SQL Azure database, and we connect to it live. So the connection here is called a data source. And if I do a get on data sources, it'll list out to me all the data sources that are used in my data set that I authored. Once I do that, I can actually change that connection string if I want. So let's say I developed the report on a development database, and now I'm rolling it out to production. Or in Milliman's case, they write a report once, and they'll use it on 100 different databases, because the structure will be the same, but the data will be different. So I can say set all connections. I can actually pass in a new connection string, and it'll update all the connections to point to that new database. Finally, if you worked with Power BI before, the way we connect to data is through gateways. So if there's a data source that runs in the cloud, we have our cloud gateway. Currently not available in Power BI embedded yet is the enterprise gateway. And that's if I have, let's say, a SQL Server on-premise in my corporate network. We would have an enterprise gateway that would connect to that. The gateway basically manages your relationship between your data set, data sources, and the physical database you're going to go to, and that's where all your credentials are. So if you call get bound gateway data sources, that will tell you which gateway this data set is particularly using. And once you know that, you can actually set the username and password for the connection for that particular gateway and data source. So to do that, you just navigate to that gateway, and you do a patch on data source, giving it the username and password, and your connection is set up. As soon as someone goes and views that report, they'll see the live data automatically. So to embed, again, I'll show you this through the SDK as well, but essentially it's just an iframe. And when you import the file or you call list reports, you're going to get back this embed URL. That's going to be the source of your iframe. And then you're going to do an action on load. So after the iframe loads, you're going to do a post action. And in that, you're going to generate this app token. The app token is what we're going to talk about in the next section. But this is how you get your users access to Power BI embedded reports. You're going to do a load report action. You're going to pass in that app token. And the iframe will render with the report inside of it. You can also pass in on the end of the embed URL one additional filter right now. And what that will do is that'll actually filter down the report when it initially loads to whatever context it was in. So I showed the trucker app before. Each time I click on a truck, I pass in a different filter when I load the iframe. So let's talk about app tokens for a moment. You have your application, your users log into your app, they've signed up for your app, and we want to make sure that users can continue to sign into your app the way they always have before. So with app tokens, a user can sign into your app, and then you can delegate whatever permissions they have to Power BI Embedded to them through the app token, and then they can connect directly to us to actually see the report. So the way that works is, again, your app's on the left, and Power BI Embedded's on the right. In your app, you have your users, you have your auth providers, you have your permissions. And then Power BI Embedded, you've created a workspace, you've put some reports into it. When you actually first create your workspace collection, there's going to be a set of API keys that get created. You can get to these through the Azure portal. You can get to these through the ARM API. But the first thing you want to do is you want to copy out those API keys and securely store them somewhere in your application. Treat these like passwords. But now that you have the API keys in your app somewhere, we now have a shared secret shared between Power BI Embedded and your application. So now I have a user who wants to see, let's say, report one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start generating a JOT token. And on there, I'm going to put some claims. I'm going to say, this token can view report one. And I'm going to give it a specific expiration, let's say 5 minutes. you really only need to set the expiration long enough for the user to open and render the report. Once you've created this token, you're going to go ahead and sign it with the API key. Now the user can actually go and try to view the report inside Power BI Embedded. And really, it's going to be the user's browser and your client code running in their browser that's actually going to attempt to view the report. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the API keys that we have stored and say, OK, is this token properly signed? If it is, say, OK, does it have the right claims for what it's trying to do? If so, is it still valid? Has it expired? If not, everything's still good. The user can go view report one. Now, if in your app the user no longer has access to report one, you simply don't generate the token for them anymore. So all your permissions can still continue to live inside your application, and you basically decide what the user is allowed to see by what you display to them and which tokens you generate for them. So in the case of Milliman, they actually have half their users on Azure AD, but the other half of the users on just Active Directory on-prem. So they didn't have to move anything over. They use the same approach to authenticating both sets of users and delegating those permissions to Power BI just with the same app tokens. So now we got to deploy this. So every step of the provisioning process here is automatable. Using the ARM APIs, you can create your workspace selections and workspaces, and then using the Power BI APIs, you can actually upload the content. We have a pay-as-you-go model where basically you don't have to worry about scaling up the service. If you use more resources, we automatically scale that for you. If you use less resources, it kind of scales back. So if you don't use it at all, nothing happens, basically. So let me actually demo how this works. And what I'm going to show is actually an end-to-end flow going through our Getting Started experience. You can download this same app, and you can actually do it yourself. And it should take you only a few minutes to actually get up and running. And what we're going to do is we're going to take that report that we created in the previous steps and actually embed that into a real web app. I'm going to come back to my machine. So the first thing we need to do is we need to create our workspace collections and our workspaces, which are going to house this report. I'm going to come to the Azure portal. I'm going to click on New, Data and Analytics, and Power BI Embedded shows up on top right now. You can click on that, and that's going to load our create blade. Now I have to name my workspace collection. These names are globally unique. They are strings. They show up in your URLs, so it's best practice not to use something that is IP sensitive that you don't want people seeing because it will show up in network traces. But I'll just name it. Pick your subscription it's going to go on. Pick your resource group. And then pick your location. So right now, for preview, we're initially just in one data center. But the plan is, in about a month, we're going to roll out to all the different data centers that Power BI is currently in. And that way, you can just pick the data center that's closest to your users. And then the pricing tier, there's only one option now, which we'll talk about in a few moments. And say create. Again, all this is automatable through the ARM APIs. And it should only take about a second or two, or three. Cool. And now I have an empty workspace collection with zero workspaces in it. So these are the next steps. That's when you start writing code and start using our APIs to actually put some stuff into these workspace collections. And to find everything you need to do this, you can click on Getting Started. We have some documentation here, but we also have the ability to download the SDK, download the sample I'm about to show, and download the Power BI desktop for free. So once you've downloaded the sample, you can open it up. And there's actually two samples in here. One is a console app that provisions out the rest of the workspace, uploads your content. And the other is actually a web app where you can actually embed the reports into. So I'll show both. From the provision sample, I'm just going to go ahead and run it right now. And it'll give you a bunch of steps you can go through. We actually did the first four steps just through the Ibiza portal or through the Azure portal. And if you don't want to do it through the UI, you can follow those first four steps and automate that entire flow through code if you like. So we're going to start on step five here, which is create a new workspace in our workspace collection. So I'm going to say five. It's going to ask me for the workspace collection name. Let's see if we can go side by side. So workspace collection name. And then your access key. So if you click on settings, you'll see your access keys. There's two access keys listed here. You only ever have to use one at a time. The reason there's two of them is so you can actually roll them. So let's say after a period of time you want to regenerate them. What you do is, let's say you're issuing access tokens for every 5 minutes. They expire after 5 minutes. What you do is you would actually start generating the new tokens with key number two. You'd wait 5 minutes, regenerate key number one, and then you'd wait another 5 minutes and regenerate key number two. And that way you can roll your access tokens. It's good to do it periodically, just like you would any password. But you only need one at any given time to actually go ahead and call our APIs. So I'll put the access key in there. And that's going to go ahead and create our workspace. And it returns to me the workspace ID. Basically what it did there was it called our .NET SDK, but still behind the scenes it called the same REST APIs. And it went through that flow that I showed earlier to generate the app token. And to sign that app token, it signed it with this access key. So if I come back to here, let me just reload our blade. You'll see I now have one workspace. Still empty, so let's put something in it. We'll put that report in there that we made earlier. So I'll do step six, which is upload the PBIX file or the Power BI desktop file. When you upload one of these files, you can give it a display name if you want. You're also always free, since it's your application, you can display whatever you want whenever you load a report, kind of like what Milliman did. I'm going to call this one sales report. I'll give it the file path. And this is now going to do that asynchronous call. It's still using the app token ID, the access key to generate the app token. But then it just did that asynchronous call to upload the file, and you see it actually happened pretty quickly. It did publishing, and then it succeeded. Now, we got the file up. It's running in that workspace. But it still needs to be able to connect to the SQL Azure database that actually has the source data in it. So I'm going to run the final step, which will update the connection string. And I'll give it the username. This would be some service account that you would use to connect. Your end user never sees this. Again, your end user can only view whatever you allow them to see through the app tokens. And then also in this step, we give you an option to change the connection string. So if I wanted to change this to a different database at this point or a different server, I could do that at this point. I'm going to skip that for now and just go ahead and update. So it's complete. Now we have a fully provisioned application with our content in there and our content hooked up to its database. So let's actually go ahead and embed. I can close out of here, go back to, so if I open up the web config under the embed sample, let's collapse this. There's a couple configs down here. First one is the access key. In order to call the service, we need the access key to generate the app tokens. So I'll put that in here. The workspace collection name. And then the workspace ID. This particular sample just happens to connect to one workspace. But in any app you write, you can connect to as many different workspaces as you want. So now I have everything I need. And I can go ahead and run this. I can go ahead and run the wrong one. Let's run this one. This is going to run the embed sample. So standard landing page in here, nothing Power BI specific. I'm actually signed in again as a, this is a non-AD user, a non-Power BI user. I can come click on report. I can click on reports. And in the sample code, we actually queried that workspace collection to see what are all the reports that are available. And we see the one report that I uploaded called sales report. I can click it. And we can actually go ahead and render that directly into the application itself. Should mention I could not find my wired connection adapter. There we go. ShowNet's been running slow. There we go. Okay, so same report. It was running on the desktop, now running in the browser. Still fully interactive, and now every time I'm clicking on one of these things, it's actually firing off a query directly to that SQL Azure database. So real quickly, I'll show a little bit of the code behind. You notice there were two things I showed in there. One was the list of reports, and the other was the actual embedded report. So if you're using the SDK, and you look at our sample, you see those two methods where we're actually listing the reports. That's this first one here. And what we did was we first create our app token. In this case, the app token is a type dev token. We give it the workspace collection, we give it the workspace ID, and then we new up a Power BI client. We new up the Power BI client. All that's going to do is generate a new JWT token, adding our app token credential to it, and new it up using the API URL, which is always by default api.powerbi.com. And once we have that, all we do is just get reports. And that will go take that app token we generated, query the API to get a list of all the reports that come back. Now to actually embed it, I'm going to new up a new report model for that particular report, which is what we're doing down here. Again, I new up an API client. I get a new app token. And I pass that to the report view model. And this will generate all the code that actually generates the iframe, puts in the embed URL, and actually renders the whole report. So it's literally as simple as those few lines of code I showed to actually get this up and running in your own application. So that was an end-to-end getting started demo. Take over.
Yeah, so that was pretty easy, wasn't it? Yeah, that's pretty easy. So now it's your turn. So you saw the steps, you log into Azure, and you go create a workspace collection. Now, what we want you to do is go do that and tweet at these hashtags, build2016, MS Power BI, and PBIE. And then we have for you T-shirts. Embedded shirts. You can look just like Scott Hanselman this morning on Channel 9, or like us. So you can do that. So if you have it right now, just go ahead and do it, and then lift up your phone and hoot and holler while we finish the deck, and then we'll send you a T-shirt. Also, down at the booth, you can find Power BI for Developers booth downstairs. We're also giving away T-shirts if you do the same thing. So if you don't have time to do it just right now, you can go downstairs and grab a T-shirt as well.
So there's a couple more topics. Again, just to reiterate, this is a Azure service running alongside other Azure services. And you can take the full power of all these Azure services, combine them together, and now actually go that last step and actually visualize the stuff that's coming out of the data stack and actually visualize that stuff in your own applications. So everything works together, everything's automatable, and everything can build to a great app. So Power BI Embedded is free until May 1st. It's in preview currently right now. After May 1st, we're going to go to our preview pricing. And the unit we charge by is what we call a render. And a render is any time we load a visualization that queries some data from the service. So if you use less than 1,000 renders, it will be free. And essentially what we'll do is we'll round down. So if you go above 1,000 renders, it'll be $250 for every 1,000 renders, kind of rounded down. So if you're at 1,999, you're paying $250 in that case. And this essentially will scale automatically to your app. So if you're using a bunch of stuff one day, you'll pay for that usage that one day. But if you're using nothing the next day, there's no cost, but the service is always up and running and ready to accept new traffic. So please get started today for free. Go to dev.powerbi.com. We link to all the stuff I showed. Also, if you go to the Azure portal, click on New, you find Power BI embedded in there. We'll link to all those different samples. We also have some direct links to the samples here and direct links to the documentation. And we're open also to taking some questions. If there are some.
If you want to ask questions, we have two microphones because we have a simulcast going out on the internet. So we ask you to go to one of the two microphones and go ahead and ask the question.
Hello, Tilo Bosinski from Theopalt Software. I have a question not about Power BI embedded, just regular Power BI. We use the REST API from Power BI to bring data from SAP to Power BI, and there I wanted to ask. If it's possible in the future, or when it will be possible to put tables in an existing data set to make a report in the web solution of Power BI about more tables.
Is the question about can you use the pushed API in Power BI embedded, or
just regular Power BI not embedded?
Yeah. So. You want to be able to update the schema right now and add additional tables into a model.
Exactly.
It's definitely something that's coming. Right now, all you can do is you can actually update the schema of individual tables, add columns, remove columns. We're getting ready to start working on being able to actually do the full data model, relationships, measures, and that includes changes to the model after you first created it. So it's definitely something on our roadmap right now.
Okay. Are there some dates or something, what you could say
when it will? No firm date at the moment, but it's definitely towards the top of the list right now.
All right.
The thing with data sets, if you can't get data into the service, there's not much to visualize. So the data set APIs are one of the first things we actually want to firm up and complete out right now.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So is a render, once you have the thing up on your screen and you're clicking around in it and it's refreshing different parts of the visualization, are those each separate renders?
Depends. If it's calling and getting new data, then it's considered a render. But we have caching in there, so let's say you click on something, it cross-highlights the other visuals, that's going to be a render. If you click back off and it goes back to the view you had before, that's going to hit a client-side cache and not be a render in that case.
Okay. And the only being able to pass one parameter in, is that something that's near
that
the top of your list to fix?
That definitely will change. The idea is that we'll let you be able to automate much more complex filters, much more click actions and event actions. So when a user clicks on something, we'll actually raise events through the iframe that you can then use to do something. So let's say a user clicks on something. You could open up a complete page in your application. They could do something in there, and then you could then take the result of that action and filter down something back on the report if you wanted to. So that's definitely something on the high of the list as well, too.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
So currently, in my company, we're using SSRS for a lot of our stuff, and it's more web development. Does this represent something that can replace that in the long run? Like, what I'm seeing here is just the Azure plugin. Is there a way to get this into a normal web app with the embedded area, or do you have to go through Azure for that? Those types of questions.
Are you asking, is it only working in the cloud, or can it work on-prem?
Well, what I saw with the Azure embedded is that you were able to not have to launch another app, right?
Correct.
Are you able to do that with Power BI inside of an existing web app?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's kind of the idea. If you have existing applications, You can, and you have reports in there. You can just take those reports and replace them directly with this without really having to change your app around.
Okay, and then as far as the differences between SSRS and this and the output, we do, you know, creating reports in file format instead of just visualized format, where Power BI will, does Power BI push out files also to drop them to locations for customers to consume, or is it just visualized?
So it's just visualized right now.
Just
so,
visualized.
So we do have some printing in the service, in the PowerBI.com service, we have some printing capability, but it's not as sophisticated as what reporting services provides. If you were to think about like the position that reporting services has versus all of Power BI, reporting services is all about paginated reporting, right? Very precise reports, you're sending Word docs, you're sending PDFs and that kind of thing.
Right.
Right. So that's what reporting services, that capability continues to be invested in. So SQL Server 2016 has enhancements to reporting services. And the Power BI stuff is all about exploring data very interactively and visually on screen.
Okay.
And one thing I'd like to point, point out about Power BI is that we're very feedback driven. We have a community site. If you go to dev.powerbi.com, there's a link to the community site there as well. Anything you feel is important, anything you feel you need to get going on the service, put in there, vote up, get to the top of the list, and that's really how we drive our stack rank right now.
Right. Thank you.
Hi, great presentation.
Great, thank you.
Liked a lot. In looking at the automation and everything that you kind of showed us, it seems like you should be able to, in a pretty straightforward way, have, say, product managers or other folks who are really not that technical design all this visualization,
yep.
right? And then upload it to your site and have it just appear in production.
Yeah,
you know,
so
there's
that...
some stuff to do to make it work, but it should be. I was wondering if there's any issues you guys see with doing that.
So that's actually what Milliman does, is they sell this application to their customers. They actually have the subject matter experts at their customer at the customer's company build out the reports themselves. So they have power analysts at those companies build the reports. And then in their UI, they have a mechanism for someone to be able to upload the report, and then they do the final connect the dots, set the connection string, set the passwords for it to talk to the database. And that's pretty standard. When it starts to get more complicated, let's say someone's doing what we call a mashup. They create a data set, and maybe it's taking data from Salesforce in the cloud, and it's taking data from a SQL database that's sitting under their desk. That's when it starts to get a little bit more complicated, and that's actually where it's easier, potentially, for someone to go to powerbi.com, sign up for the service there, load the reports themselves into that service, set up the refresh, set up their personal gateways, and we have the same exact embed APIs on PowerBI.com as we do on PowerBI Embedded, so you can actually embed both side by side. So you can have your out-of-the-box content come from PowerBI Embedded, and like heavily personalized user content can come from PowerBI itself, and you can still embed them side by side.
Sure. That's very good information. Thank you. One follow-up question on that. With Milliman, if they're allowing their customers to do it, how do they give them their database? So some sort of a schema? How do they link it up to the tables and columns? And
they basically, they when they define those output jobs, that basically defines their schema. And essentially what they do is they have some preset schemas, and what goes in, the data that goes into that is what changes. So they let the actual end user pick the parameters of how that job is going to run. But the actual schema is pretty much the same. So they give them a sample database with the schema, and they let them actually build out the reports, and then they hook it up to the real databases at runtime after they've started each one of those jobs.
Okay.
And they're actually going to do a demo in the mini theater with me at like 4:45 and talk a little bit more about their solution, how they actually do it.
Cool. Thank you.
Multi-tenant or row-level permissions in any form, basically we're running it for multiple firm application for multiple client tenants, multiple users with different permissions. Is there any plan to translate user identity to data identity?
Yeah, so it's very, one of the things we wanted to make sure is that you didn't have to copy your users over to us. We didn't necessarily have to be aware of your users, and there's kind of no lag or extra place where you have metadata stored, like some permissions stored here and some permissions stored with us. So one of the features we're working on now is the ability to actually scope down the requests that come into us. Still working through the details of how it's going to work, but the idea is that when you generate those app tokens, you can tell us what the user's allowed to see, and we will enforce that for them. We will enforce that for them as the reports render.
So it's future functionality, right? Yes.
Say again, I'm sorry.
So it's future functionality. It's not current functionality.
It's not. It's not in the first wave of the preview.
Is it possible right now to, when generate these workspaces, to generate workspace per tenant through application, through API, and then essentially map users to his own workspace?
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to map them to their own workspace, but you could. You can just, let's say you put everything in one workspace, you can just generate a different app token for each user, and basically the app token only lets you see one object at a time.
Okay.
So you just control what they can see.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll take one more question, and then for everyone who stayed, come on up and grab a t-shirt. Okay?
hi. So you mentioned event bubbling from the source window. I was wondering, when is that functionality going to be available? And if, like, where, like, how far away on the roadmap is that?
Sorry, which, oh, the events?
Yeah, events on the source.
Yeah, so we have a bit of design work to do on that one. But we know it's something that's going to, that people are going to need to really start adopting this. So it is pretty high up there for us. What I would suggest is please go to our community site and vote that one up the list.
Okay, and is there anything theoretically stopping you from using Webhook or WebSocket to do that today?
Theoretically, no. It's okay. You know, those contracts can change. That's the only thing I'd say.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
Come on up and grab some t-shirts.
Please come down to the booth.